Hello, my name is Edwin.
What up, y'all? This is Jeff.
And this is Frantic. Welcome, everyone, to Tilted Not Stirred. It is Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. Lots of stuff is going on around the world, boys. And by around the world, I mean in Qatar. The World Cup, USA, has in fact made it through. So I am a USA soccer fan now. I will admit the team is looking pretty good. Pretty good. Not excellent, but pretty good. They're going to be playing against the Netherlands, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll talk more about the World Cup in a little bit. But what you guys do this week? Anything cool?
I've just been heavy on tech stuff. I set up some virtual machines to run some emulators. So that's fun.
Oh, some emulators. Like, well, what are you emulating? What's going on there?
Oh, just some stuff. Some stuff.
Oh, man. All right, well, you're not going to go to jail or anything, are you?
Nah, I'll be fine.
All right. What about you, Edwin?
I'm actually tilted. I'm tilted at something.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
this ain't a tilted podcast, dude.
Yeah, I'm tilted at Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Just Pokemon in general. Yeah.
What did Pokemon do now?
What did it do to me? Where did it touch me? In my no-nos? Hmm? Let me tell you.
Point to the Pikachu and say where.
I'm a point to the Pikachu and tell you exactly where Pokemon did me wrong. All right. So, I think the last Pokemon game I got was my coworker was trying to get into Pokemon, and she's like, I'll play with you. We'll all play. It'll be fun, right? So she convinced all of my coworkers to get Pokemon Sword and Shield for the Switch. And I got it because I was like, it's going to be a community. It's going to be great. We're all going to be playing together. They didn't like it right away, and they dropped it. And
oh, damn.
I kind of forced myself through it. I was like, I bought this. I'm going to play this.
Is this like the latest gen, or what is this?
This would be last year's or 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
So I played through it. I was bored as fuck the whole time. And I realized Pokemon isn't for me. It isn't. And it shouldn't be. It's for kids. It's for the generation that's coming up now, right?
Uh-huh.
Let that appeal to them, and it's cool. Pokemon did what it did for me, and I love it for that reason, right? I never partook in the card. I'm getting emotional right now. I'm just kidding.
You're choking up.
Yeah, getting real emotional. Actually, I inhaled a bag of Takis before this. It's probably not great for the vocal cords.
Wow.
smart moves.
Yeah, it's extremely smart. Anyways, the games were the only connection I've had with Pokemon for a long time. It wasn't the cards. It wasn't the anime. It was just the games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now they're merchandising so fucking well that as a fan of Pokemon, a lifelong fan of Pokemon, right? I have seen this merchandise and been like, where the fuck was this ever? And just this week, on the 23rd, they hit me in the proverbial balls. They released They released a Pokeball.
Okay.
Right? And it's a Pokeball that you put your Samsung Galaxy Pro like headphones. Like you put your headphone case in there, and it's a Pokeball that pretty much is the case. It pretty much eats the case, and it becomes the case. It's fucking gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Wow.
I wanted it, and they only released it in Korea.
Get fucked.
Yeah, man, just get it shipped over.
Absolutely fucked. You can't buy it. Like, it's sold out in Korea.
Oh, well, I guess you're shit out of luck.
Exactly. So that's what I'm like. Fuck you, Pokemon. You know how to keep me coming back, and it's bullshit. And I won't stand for it anymore. It's like franchises are doing really cool shit that is unprecedented before. Like, nerd culture has reached the mainstream so hard that things that you were starved for way back in the day are coming back with some crazy shit. And you're like, why can't I have that?
Well, you also have the benefit of, when you were younger, you probably wouldn't have been able to afford all those things. So the fact that all that merchandise is coming out now, it's no coincidence that all that merchandising is coming out when that generation of kids that grew up with Pokemon have the monies to pay for the nostalgia.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, shit, like we were just discussing this about Magic the Gathering, right? With Middle Earth, that Middle Earth set that is coming out. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, I mean, it was bound to happen. And Magic the Gathering is going to be coming out with the Lord of the Rings set next year. And people are thinking it's going to come out around Q3. And it's unfortunate because I didn't want to buy more cards. But, I mean, Lord of the Rings is kind of my thing. So, it is what it is.
I just hear that some drafts are in our future, which I'm down with that.
I mean, kind of down. I don't know. We'll see. What about Thanksgiving, guys? I mean, I know it's been almost a week ago, but you guys have a good dinner?
It was cool. Unfortunately, one of the families that was supposed to attend got sick with COVID. Shout out to our editor.
Great.
Yeah, so him and his family were not able to attend. But, the food was still good. There's plenty of it. At one point, I had 6 straight Thanksgiving plates.
6?
Over, like, 4 days.
Oh, okay. I was like, holy shit.
I only had 2 plates that night, okay?
So, for breakfast, I discovered the joys of just eating sides. Just throw mashed potatoes. Like
Thanksgiving sides?
Yeah, mashed potatoes. Throw some stuffing on top. Put some gravy on that for breakfast, and it's pretty fucking great.
Bro, a ham and turkey slider
for I don't like ham. I don't like sweet food, and that shit's weird.
You're weird.
Like sweet meat?
You're weird.
You're weird.
That's funny.
Dude, and then my godmother, she makes this, like, I think it's a cream cheese salsa with, like, white chili. And that shit is so bomb, dude. It was hot as fuck this year, but it was so good.
I can't wrap my head around what the fuck you just said.
Yeah, it sounds wild, right? It's like it's a cream cheese base, but there's like chili in it. And it's like a yellow chili pepper. And yeah, she just throws that in with some spices and boom, you got yourself a white salsa.
What the fuck did you just say to me? I don't get it.
I'm telling you, bro. Like it was dip? Good.
Or what is this?
I put a spoonful on the bottom of the biscuit and one on the top, and then the middle was just ham and turkey. And I had made me like 3 sliders for breakfast, and it was bomb.
Very nice. I actually didn't really have a whole lot of leftovers or anything because we went over to a cousin's place and. It was just like very basic stuff, nothing too exciting. I did take Lucille's though because my mother wasn't home this, the holidays. Biscuits. So we got the biscuits, we got tri-tip, pulled pork, all that good stuff. We played, the highlight of the evening was a 3-hour game of Catan. It was like a 6-player game and that game did not need to be 3 hours long, but it was... Yeah, that's what we did for Thanksgiving. And the very next day, I went to Micro Center. They opened at 8 in the morning, and I didn't get out till like 11. So that was fun. And basically it. On Saturday, we all hung out, which was nice. We got to see each other again, which is always a good time celebrating 2 birthdays, even though we were there just to celebrate 1. Shout out to the homie, David. Mm-hmm, and... That was basically my week. I pretended to do chores on Sunday because I was just bloated and and lazy. I don't know how you guys felt after Thanksgiving, but I feel like I'm still bloated. But that might just be me.
I actually had a tiny Thanksgiving dinner. It wasn't full blown. The family that was supposed to join us got sick. So it was just me and my mom. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even do the whole, like, get fly as fuck just to eat, you know, thing that people do. You
guys wore stretchy pants.
We just kind of just chilled. It was just me and my mom. We said our thanks. And we only made food for that day and then the next day. And it was just pretty wonderful to not have to eat Thanksgiving dinner.
I mean, it's a lot less wasteful, for sure.
Yeah. So it was nice.
Hey, that food's going to get eaten, all right?
I bet. Right. That white salsa is fucking with my head. I looked it up.
A picture or something, yeah.
I looked it up. I just saw some cream cheese with some fucking cheddar cheese on top.
No, that's not it. No, that's bullshit. Like a cheese sauce. This isn't it. It's like a salsa, dude. It's hot. Cream
cheese.
Yeah, it's hot. It's cream cheese, but it's hot. I don't know. I guess instead of tomatillos, you just use cream cheese, and then the rest is just hot, like peppers. I don't know what's in it. I just thought it was good.
Is it flowy?
Kinda. It has like the consistency of a thick gravy.
Hmm. Bro, right.
I'm fucking mind blown. All right, cool, whatever. But this shit's
roll
insane.
The intro.
I don't know if I could function after this one. Wow.
Oh, there you go. Bro, I kept pushing the button. It wouldn't work.
It's like when people, that cliche of people wanting to blow up dynamite. And it just doesn't go until they get near it and it just blows up on them.
Riley Coyote style.
Yeah.
So speaking of dressing to the nines, I have it on authority that New Year's is formal this year. So watch out for that.
Wait, that was formal?
New Year's is formal this year. There's a dress code for New Year's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's I was told as well.
Watch me look fly as fuck, and no one's going to know I'm wearing stretchy pants. Just watch
dude,
me.
Dude, that was pretty lit. You had what are those corduroy pants? And we're all like, dude, those pants are sick. And then, and you're like, guess what my secret is? They're drawstring pants.
Oh, shit.
We were all just like, holy shit.
There's a secret tech of getting like jeans that are just basically sweats.
Yeah.
They just have the appearance of jeans, but they're sweats.
There's a whole manner of comfortable, stretchy clothing that looks professional. It's kind of interesting. But after the pandemic, I used to want to dress in like tight fitting clothes and like just look sharp all the fucking time. But after the pandemic and just feeling an unprecedented level of comfort, you don't want to go back. It seems like you're just restricting yourself, your balls, your fucking everything is just being restricted, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I'll echo that and say me with shoes. Like since I work from home and I rarely ever really have to wear shoes, I'm always in Crocs or like slippers or something, right? And so whenever I go out and it's for an extended amount of time, I'm just there sitting there like my feet are just so uncomfortable. Like I wish they were free. So I totally get what you're saying. Same thing with jeans. Jeans have been, it might be because they may be fitting a little tighter, but also just wearing jeans is just so like why do these things even exist? I know they're cool, but they're just so uncomfortable now. I need to get used to them again.
I've never struggled getting used to them. I'm a jeans only outside kind of guy, but at my house, you know, I'm in the basketball shorts or in some sweats.
All right. Are you guys ready to talk about the World Cup?
Oh, shit.
All right.
Sure, I didn't watch it.
I'll do this again.
I believe that we will win.
USA.
US chants are lacking.
Yeah, they're not that cool, but
what do you mean? After the game, there's a Twitter post of the whole crowd was chanting, "It's called soccer."
Yeah, but that's like it's the called only
soccer.
What yeah, the hell? That's when the U.S. beats any country, it's like it's called soccer because everybody else calls it football. But
that's a dank ass chant, bro. Stunning on hoes.
I mean, the Mexicans were talking to the Argentinians during the Argentina game, and they were bringing history. You know, the Falklands, Argentina lost them to the British, and Mexicans were saying in the Falklands, they speak English and they don't want to speak Spanish. Like, forget about it. And that's like a super sore topic for Argentina. It's kind of weird.
That seems really obscure.
But, yeah, that's super obscure.
Hey, all right.
That's like,
the way they talk shit. All right.
That's an entire stadium chanting this. This isn't fucking...
Well, are they like chanting speak English or something? Like,
no, they're literally chanting what I just told you in Spanish.
That whole phrase?
Yeah. In the Falklands, they speak English.
Oh, that's the whole... Okay.
Yeah.
So it's basically telling them, like, you're not really Latin? Speak English kind of deal?
No, that they lost a territory to the British.
Wow. And Mexico lost all of California. I don't know. That's fucking whatever. That's the shitty chant. Yeah,
it's a shitty chant.
What'd you say, brother? We're Americans today.
It's an extremely shitty chant. And the chant that United States has against Mexico is Dos a Cero. Because they beat them once, Dos a Cero.
Damn, that was years ago. I remember that.
That's what they hang on to.
Every single time Mexico and the United States play, Dos a Cero is literally being chanted the entire time.
Well, that was what's our shitty cup? The Copa de Oro?
Yeah.
They beat us 2-0 in the final. That one stung.
Yeah, but it's like you have the fucking Santa Ana trade. You have the Santa Ana trade there. You got fucking, you know, like shit.
I mean, when a country that's sixth most popular sport is soccer beats any other country in soccer, you know, you're allowed to talk shit.
Mexico's
kind of
number one sport is soccer. They shouldn't be as bad as they are.
Well, let's go down to through the groups here, shall we? In Group A, we have Netherlands coming out in first, and Senegal coming out second. I have not watched a single Senegal game. Have you guys?
I watched the first half when they played. Who did they play?
They've just had really bad times.
It wasn't Qatar. It was the other one.
100%. I echo that, Frantic.
They've been playing like at 2 a.m, 5 a.m. It's like Jesus.
It's been the only games. I've only slept through two games in the World Cup, and they both were the Senegal games. Even though I do have a horse in that race. There's a lot of Chelsea players in the Senegal team.
Wow. Yeah, they came out. I mean, their group was kind of easy against Ecuador, Qatar. They came out with 2 wins and a loss, so not too bad. They got the job done, and they're moving on to the next. You got Group B, and England comes out first. Those games are played today, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So England,
in the morning, our time.
England comes out with 2 wins and a tie, and the USA wins with comes out in second place with 1 win and 2 ties. So very cool. The USA comes out.
Very close.
The team has been okay, but at least my one thing that I like about this, and it's not just because I'm a U.S. citizen, but also just because, like, our region of North America needed at least one person to make it out. Because
it ain't over yet. We'll talk about that next.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the next group. But Canada ain't looking... I mean, they're basically
Canada's out. Canada's out.
Yeah, they're basically out. So they look good, too. But the USA is playing against Netherlands in the next their next game. And I really do think that they can beat them.
I believe that they will win.
Oh, God.
What do you think, Edwin? Since you're more of a soccer aficionado.
The Netherlands are peaking at the right time, which is one of those things that it is a cliche when it comes to World Cup and World Cup speak. You don't have to play well through the entirety of the 7 games you have to make it through an entire World Cup. But as soon as you start peaking at the right time, games 4, 5, 6, and 7, right? That's like the time that some countries can get shifted to that next gear and just be, you know, solid.
Right, because there's teams with confidence and stuff.
100%, because it's like a lot of momentum. People throw the word momentum when it comes to like sports, but it's a very real thing. When things are going well, everyone's playing with more confidence. Everyone's, you know, but I would say they're playing well now. They have very young, unproven players in the international scene. They've been doing it for their teams, like Ajax, and like they've been killing it there. Sorry, those talkies keep coming back up. Anyways, I think that the U.S. can win because there's definite weaknesses in the Netherlands squad.
Oh, yeah. And they haven't been tested.
They haven't.
We're going to be honest.
They really haven't. But the U.S. is wasteful.
But they got by the skin of their teeth today, yo.
Yeah. The U.S. is extremely wasteful. You see them control a lot of their possession. You see them do so many like fancy passes and stuff, try to get into position. You got really talented players, but there's no finisher in that team. There's no deadly striker in that team. And it's
I'm not a fan of Pete Davidson.
Sargent has been good, man. I feel like Sargent's good.
Sargent looks good today, but I don't like Pete Davidson. I don't like him.
Pete Davidson? What the fuck is he have to
Who
do
are you
with
calling
this?
Pete Davidson?
Dest? The blonde dude?
Wait, what's wrong? Dude, Sergino Dest is one of their best players.
That guy makes the most selfish plays. He like runs in ignoring 4 people calling for the ball and then shoots from the midfield and he's like, ah, damn. And he's like, dude, that's, what are you doing?
Former Barcelona player, Sergino Dest to you?
He's one of the best players on the team.
I never liked Pete Davidson, and this just gives me another reason to not like him anymore.
Oh, my God. He doesn't even look like him. He looks like Pete Davidson, bro.
So, one of the most talented players, 2 of the most talented players, I didn't watch today's game. I'm going to watch the highlights. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But there's 2 extremely talented players for the U.S. There's Gio Reyna and Aaronson. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
They call him Medford Messi. But anyways, those guys are extremely talented and extremely hardworking. Maybe Aaronson's a lot more hardworking, right? They have been letting them on like way later in the game. In Gio Reyna's case, they have never put him on.
Yeah, right? He hasn't played.
Yeah, so that's... Gio Reyna is extremely and uberly talented. He plays for Borussia Dortmund, which isn't a small team. And he is their... He was their talisman, right? Before he got injured and stuff like that, right? So it's kind of like you have this player that you're not using that he is proven in European soccer in general, but the United States isn't using him. There's a lot of like controversy about that. Like a lot of people are like, where the hell is he? He is proven to be talented. And then there's that Medford Messi guy, Aaronson, who plays for Leeds United. He plays in the Premier League, and he looks good week in, week out.
Yeah, so he's looking good. He gets subbed in right now. I don't know. I don't think he's starting. But
Did Gio Reyna play this today?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of really weird.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the team's pretty decent. I feel like every position's... I mean, each position's been holding their own. There's a couple of players that I'm kind of like, I don't know about these guys, but since these are just like my first impressions of this team, because I don't know any of them, like I feel like all of them are kind of new, but maybe that's just because I haven't really been following soccer. But the team looks okay. I feel like they're going to be competitive coming out of the groups.
We'll see. They haven't looked extremely electrifying for the last couple matches. Just 2 ties and barely a win today. It's kind of suspect.
I mean, we'll see.
Well, the goal was clean as fuck. It was what came after the goal that was sus.
But they almost lost in the last 5 minutes, right?
Yeah. Well, they almost drew in the last 5 minutes, which was
they almost lost the qualification, right?
Yeah, they almost lost.
All right. Let's go to Group C. Enough about the U.S. They'll figure it out. Group C: Poland, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, and Mexico. I did not expect Mexico to be at the bottom of the group going into the last game, but there we are with one single point, a tie and a loss, and we're against Saudi Arabia, which I guess is the weakest in the group. And then we have Poland and Argentina fighting it out in the last game, which is convenient for us because one of them could knock each other out. But we need to do, Mexico needs to go crazy.
Or, so the best case scenario, Poland wins, Mexico wins, that's it. Both of them
are making it. Yeah. But Argentina's coming out here with the
next best case scenario is Argentina wins 3-0, and then we win 2-0.
That's doable, but seeing that Mexico has no teeth whatsoever, you don't see where these goals are going
to
come from.
Which brings us to the last way they qualify, which is if they tie, if Argentina and Poland tie, then Mexico needs to win by, what, 4 or 5 goals?
Which is even worse, because they have looked like they're never going to score.
I mean, we need one, man. Just give us a goal. Give the fans of Mexico at least one goal to celebrate.
I think we're going to ball out, dude. I think we'll get 3 goals tomorrow.
Oh, that's a bold prediction. This episode
and then Argentina's going to win 1-0, and it's not going to matter.
You talk about how many talented players came and went through Mexico's years with Chicharito. We got Carlos Vela. We have fucking Dos Santos brothers.
Rafa Marquez.
That guy played his time. He played more than his time. I think he played 4 World Cups with Mexico. Like, he did his shit. But I'm saying, like, Marco Fabian, which is supposed to be the next big fucking thing. But Tecatito's broken leg, so there's not much you could do about that. But there's just so many players that just came and went that kind of didn't do anything. There was a guy, something Romo. That guy was supposed to, like,
maybe be fucking, we just didn't, like, have, like, we haven't had, like, a golden generation where we're stacked at every position.
Didn't our sub-16, like, our sub-20 win a gold medal against Germany?
Yeah, and I think in that team were the Dos Santos brothers.
We haven't had a full star.
We had two Brazilians. That's cheating.
We did have two Brazilians, and we still couldn't make. I mean, that they did have some success until the Nora Penal happened, but
Mexico's
been relatively quiet. At least we're qualifying every World Cup. We got that.
I looked up the standings just to refresh. Mexico beat Germany, and who's the other team they beat? And Korea. Yeah, they beat Germany and Korea. I don't remember them winning those games, but apparently they did.
I know they did.
Memo Ochoa showed up during the Germany game, and I think they won 1-0 or 2-0.
Well, that was when Germany was bad.
Yeah.
That year, Germany was bad, and South Korea was a... I mean, they're a decent team, but definitely beatable.
And then we lost to Sweden and got second in the pool.
That was so cool. I was actually out there in South Korea when the World Cup was going down. So when we went to a bar and we were cheering Mexico goals, everybody around us was looking at us like, this motherfucker.
They found a way to infiltrate.
Yeah, like, oh, we got Mexicans here? How'd that happen? Yeah. That shit was funny. Dude, the bars were so full during every single World Cup game. Like, I had no idea that South Koreans were so, into soccer. It was cool. I mean, maybe it might just be because it's World Cup and, you know, everybody kind of gets into it, at least for that 1 month or two.
But, you know, it's funny because every 4 years, the world aligns with my enjoyment of soccer. And I become hopeful. Yes, finally, I can talk about soccer with people.
Without Jeff saying, I'm going to sleep. All right, I'm
or,
out.
Yeah, or just general Americans just not giving a fuck, you know. And, like, I see every week after a weekend occurs, right, I crave the the shit talking football fans give each other. You know, like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, the Cowboys, blah, blah, whatever the fuck, right? I'm like, God damn it.
Why doesn't anybody talk shit to me about soccer?
Yeah, I want to talk about soccer. And it's just like, this is, it's really nice to see every 4 years at least people get into this tournament.
The next World Cup is going to be here in North America. Could that be the turning point of popularity in the U.S. of soccer? Why are you saying no?
They've already hosted one here in the
U.S. But that was back then when soccer didn't, like, you have a, it's a new generation, a new way of communicating, a new way of sharing, like, highlights and information and everything. And I feel like this time around could be the turning point.
Well, in terms of, like,
hand me that copium you're smoking, Frantic.
The soccer copium.
It's soccer, dude. You have girls. You have the women's national team that is, for some reason, a juggernaut in soccer when the men's team is, like, you know, far from it. Soccer is definitely more digestible now than it was in the past, for at least an American audience.
I mean, I was falling asleep during their English game when they played against England.
That game was boring as hell.
Yeah, that bode well for the sport.
No, as a
there's
person,
boring games in every sport.
Yeah, 100%. But here's what I'm saying.
At the highest level, though.
Yeah.
That's when you're supposed to ball out the hardest. I'm just saying. Soccer's got five other sports to compete with here.
I mean, it's like if you're watching a baseball game and one team's already winning like 6-0 after the first two innings. How exciting is that game?
I mean, fucking just stick around and see some more runs.
Okay.
I mean, that's different than a game that's tied by for 60 minutes or 90 minutes and they're just playing catch, right?
Yeah, that is true.
That's 7-1 against Brazil, Germany. That was a crazy game.
So I'm gonna say this, that soccer in general, I think is going to crack wide open in terms of players in the world scene, right? So back in like the 2007-ish area, I don't remember exactly, there was three U.S. players, right, that went abroad and played for prominent English teams.
That's such a good point. I was going to make this point too. Go ahead.
It was Stuart Holden. He played for Tottenham. Fucking our goalkeeper, motherfucker. Blanking.
Oh, the bald guy?
Yeah. I'm blanking.
I forget his last name too.
He played for Everton for the longest time. Fucking.
Who are you talking about? The goalie?
Oh, yeah.
Howard?
The U.S. Yeah, Howard. Howard. Mm-hmm. Tim Howard, Clint Dempsey, and Donovan, right? Those people went overseas and started playing, you know, soccer for the European scene, right? And it gave a little bit of exposure, but it really didn't cement what it means to, like, be an American playing soccer abroad. Nowadays, there's a whole host of American players going to play in Germany, going to play in the, you know, in England, going, it's pretty big right now in the sense of, like, there's a lot of players out there playing abroad. You know, this U.S. team, you see them, you know, our defender plays for Fulham, right? It's not the biggest team, but they play in the English Premier League, right? And it's just like, it is interesting to see that there are so many players in our U.S. squad alone that play overseas.
So can I give a counterpoint to this?
Go ahead.
Americans do not care about sports outside of America. That's point one. Point two, the most athletic and talented youth in this country will always pick basketball or football. And that's just it. Some go to baseball, even less go to soccer.
Yeah.
True, but what I'll say to that is as the legitimacy of soccer increases and a lot of youth here in the U.S., yes, they'll play football or they play all these things. Football, I'll say that football is definitely like hit or miss with the greatest athletes because, like, who wants to get hurt for a living? What I will say is if there's an increasing amount of soccer players that are getting contracts overseas in the millions and millions of dollars, isn't that enticing?
I mean, people in the U.S. don't see Messi in commercials. They see LeBron. They see Tiger Woods. They see Tom Brady.
But maybe that's just the way our...
This is our American sports. Our MLS, exactly. That's MLS what I'm saying. I'm not saying that MLS is going to get popular. I'm saying that soccer in general is going to get popular in the U.S.
Well, that's not going to happen because if our soccer scene is the MLS. America does not care about outside sports.
I'm pretty sure the people in the U.S., this might be a stretch, but I would think and I would assume that more people watch non-U.S. soccer than U.S. soccer.
The people who watch soccer, you would say?
Like, yeah, the people who watch soccer in the U.S. watch more non-MLS soccer than MLS soccer.
I would tell you in the last 10 years, I have watched one MLS game.
Yeah. It's hard to know because we don't really have a whole lot of like full-on like white American friends that we have that we could just go and ask questions to. But would be interesting to see if we could pull up that information sometime. Maybe not today, but just to know.
But
you know what the hell?
I mean, with soccer in general, right? You have NBA level leagues of just soccer based on countries. It's fucking wild.
I'm not saying that outside it's not, you know, obviously it's the most popular sport in the world, but I'm just saying how America is. They're not going to wake up at 5 in the morning to watch a footy.
But they're not. It's not going to be
a country that they don't care about.
It's not going to be that. I mean, the U.S.
How many people wake up at 5 in the morning for a football game other than...
They don't. They wake other up than at noon.
The Super Bowl is like the only thing.
That U.S. World Cup is going to be our times. It's not going to be fucking crazy. That U.S. World Cup is going to be our normal times. It's not going to be fucking 5 a.m., 2 a.m. No, it's going to be...
I get that. Our I'm times. Just saying
and
that...
it's going to be more digestible for the people instead of like and having...
For that month, they will care. But after that, it's going to go back to not giving a shit.
I think it's going to do wonders to the interest of soccer, especially because there's going to be matches hosted in all the biggest cities in the U.S.
Regardless of what happens with the future of the United States and soccer in general, I think that, I don't know, as a fan of the sport, I need to get a ticket to watch at least a game somewhere.
If you're a fan of the sport, you're going to watch it regardless, right?
Yeah.
But your average American isn't going to go watch Germany play Spain or Brazil play Argentina because they don't care about those countries. They're going to watch the U.S. play... I don't know, like Iran or, you know, like a lesser country in terms of soccer.
There's a huge argument to be had that the youth is now not being loyal to teams per se. They're being loyal to players, right? Especially in the U.S. markets of every sport, right? A lot of the youth are liking players more than they like a team, right? They tune into the World Cup and see a player ball out, they're going to be curious, where does this player play? What's going on over here, right? And I think that's just the youth and the way they consume the sport. And that in its own could be a good starting point on how budding interest can happen if we have a World Cup here in the United States. Because of the way that young people consume sports.
Yeah, well, you'll see. I definitely do think that wherever wherever soccer is on the in the minds of like the tier list of sports in the U.S., I think it'll go up. And any positive movement is going to be good. All right, so let's go to Group D. I mean, this one's pretty easy, I think. The last game is Australia versus Denmark and Tunisia versus France. France looks like they're already going to make it through.
They're guaranteed in.
They're guaranteed in already. And it's Australia versus Denmark. So Australia basically needs to tie the game and they make it through. Because I don't see Tunisia beating France.
And Denmark, so, Denmark needs to win, right?
Denmark needs to beat us. It's in Denmark's hands. If they win the game, they make it through. If they tie or lose, obviously, then they're out.
And then first place of this group, which is likely France, will play the second place of Group C, which would be
Mexico at best.
This point.
Yeah. Mexico at best.
It could be all anyone right, well, at this point.
Yeah, that is true. That's the nice thing about Group C is that going into the last game, anyone
can advance.
Anyone can advance, yeah. In Group E, we have Costa Rica versus Germany and Japan versus Spain. Spain already has 4 points. Who are they playing against? They're playing Japan. So I guess if Japan is able to do something to them, it might get awkward for them. Costa Rica has 3 points and Germany finds himself with only 1 point.
Germany's not looking nice. Their kids are nice.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what's
that,
going
oh,
on
yeah,
Germany.
Dude. They're, I was,
the red
I was
ones
telling,
are very
I like
nice.
the white ones.
The white ones are sick. Yeah. The white kit that Germany's rocking this year. Hell yeah. They look nice. They lost to Japan. They got stunned by Japan and they tied against Costa Rica. No, they tied against Spain.
Yeah.
So very, very interesting. They have a winnable game with Costa Rica at the end here. And if Spain takes care of business against Japan, then Germany goes through.
I'm team
so
Pikachu,
they still
dude.
Have a chance.
This one's I for mean, the weebs.
Dude, Spain is looking, at least for me, I think that they could make it like top four.
You think
I don't know if, Spain I don't know if they're making it. I don't know if they're going to make it to the final match, but I think they can make top four.
I don't see how France is going to lose to anybody.
That's good news for me. yeah, France is... I think it's going to be France. I don't know who's going to play who, but France-Brazil could be a thing for the final. Brazil
doesn't
we'll
have Neymar. Wait, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get to Group G and talk about Brazil. Let's get through these. So who do you guys think comes out of Group E then?
I'm going to say Germany and Japan. Let's go.
Ooh, that's
wait,
bold.
You think Japan's beating Spain?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I don't think Spain is losing because they look
wait,
like...
no. Even if Spain loses... Wait. Okay, so if Spain loses and Costa Rica wins, then that's the... And Japan... Yeah, that'd be the only way Spain's out.
And then it'd be Spain and Germany out? That's wild.
That would be a very stunning tournament.
Well, that's what
events.
I want to see.
All right.
Okay, so it's probably going to be Spain and Japan.
Yeah. Germany's not looking nice.
They're playing against a beatable team, though.
Yeah, but they're a spunky beatable team. You know what I mean? They got spunk, kid. I like.
I mean, they're
spunk.
Minus six. I mean, they got destroyed by Spain, but I mean, they responded with the win. So
yeah, so
there's that.
So if Germany wins and Spain and Japan tie, Spain and Japan both advance, right?
If what now? Sorry.
If Germany wins, and then Spain and Japan tie, Spain and Japan advance, right?
Yes. Well, it would depend on how many goals Germany scores, because then they would be tied with Japan with 4 points.
Ah, okay.
And the goal and Japan has 0, and Germany has -1.
Ah, so they need to win by 2 goals.
They would just need these.
So well, we have group F here, Canada versus Morocco. Morocco somehow has 4 points in this group, which is very interesting. Canada's already out. I thought they were very, very nice. They lost the heartbreaker against Belgium. Yeah, basically. It was a tragic loss against Belgium, and Croatia's playing good soccer. So there it is. Canada 0-2. Very sad.
Yeah.
And then we have Croatia, Belgium.
But an icing on the cake for Canada, they scored their first ever World Cup. Alfonso Davies scored it, which is their mega ultra superstar that plays fucking fullback. But that guy is the fastest player in European sports right now. European soccer. That guy is fast as fuck, boy. And he has incredible offense abilities for someone who plays that far back on the pitch. It's wild. But he became historical by scoring Canada's first goal in the World Cup tournament. That's wild.
Yep. Greatest 0-2 team, as Jeff said. That's sad.
They play nice. They play really nice.
They do. It's just they just happened to get destroyed. In this group, looks like, I mean, the last game is Croatia versus Belgium. Belgium has to win to get out of here because they're not winning on differentials against Morocco. Belgium has to win to get out, and Morocco, if they tie, they're out. They're in. So there it is.
Do you guys know my history with Belgium?
That you're a fan?
That I'm a huge fan of Belgium. I own a jersey of Belgium. Why? Because most of the prominent Belgian players played for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Lukaku was supposed to be the second coming of Drogba, and he fucked us. Fuck him. But I have his jersey, and I don't know what to do with it. Fuck him. And then there's Kevin De Bruyne, who Mourinho didn't believe in, fucking sells his ass to Germany, in Germany, makes a name for himself, comes back to Manchester City, and becomes a world-class player that is just insanely amazing. There's Hazard, legendary Chelsea player, who didn't train enough, liked food too much, always came back obese, and was injured all the time.
Fuck yeah.
And there's Courtois. Who also fuck him.
Thought he was the best goalkeeper in the world.
I mean, yeah, he plays for Real Madrid, right? He played for Chelsea before then. And
So you just hate him because he took the money and went somewhere else?
I mean, he took the money and was a fucking snake about it. And he fucked Kevin De Bruyne's girlfriend at the time.
Damn. He said, I know I'm a goalkeeper. That doesn't mean I can't score.
On his teammate.
He owned goal that shit.
On his teammate, the sweetest man.
Oh, my God.
They call Kevin De Bruyne a strawberry because he's the sweetest fucking man. And he bakes.
He's a baker. Okay.
No wonder he got cheated on. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, that's just a little side fact.
I mean, who comes out of this group?
I don't know, man. Belgium has wasted their golden generation.
I think it's going to be Croatia, Morocco.
Yeah.
Morocco plays against Canada. I mean, Canada could technically...
The greatest last hurrah, team you're ever going to see.
Just win that game, but
we'll just see. Be a spoil. I think that'd be nice to see them just spoil somebody. But yeah.
All right. We'll go to Group G. Wow, this has turned into a World Cup podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was thinking about it like, fuck, we need to get off this topic, but here we are.
There's so many groups. Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay. Two more groups. Group G is Serbia versus Switzerland, Cameroon versus Brazil. This is the Friday game.
This is the free group for Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Brazil goes through, and it's just a matter of fact of if it's going to be Cameroon or...
Cameroon has 1 point. If they lose to Brazil, they're done. It's Switzerland, Serbia.
Oh, okay.
Switzerland has 3 points. Serbia has one. So if Serbia wins and Brazil takes care of business, they advance. Switzerland just needs to tie.
I think Serbia is going to take that game against Switzerland.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that.
Serbia is good.
So Brazil, Serbia out of Group G?
I think so.
Cool. And we'll go to Group H. Last game is South Korea versus Portugal. And Ghana versus Uruguay.
It's going to be Ghana and Portugal going through.
Over under Suarez biting someone.
I wasn't super convinced by Uruguay. I watched the game against Portugal, and I mean, they had chances. They kind of looked a little bit like Mexico, where they were generating offense, but they never capitalized on the final play.
So their striker, Darwin Nunez, was the only lively piece for them up front. Uruguay, I'm talking about, in the last game. He was actually just working his ass off. And then they sub him out for Suarez, who hasn't really played.
I mean, he came in and took some good shots.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. They were Cavani, by the goalie. Cavani was looking a little lost out there.
Yeah, I definitely make the sub for Cavani, but I think Darwin Nunez, that was a complete mistake. I was baffled at that choice, where it's like, that's the only promising thing you got going on, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, so it's Ghana, Uruguay.
Ghana's looking nice.
Ghana is looking nice. There's a chance for South Korea to win, but they'd have to beat Portugal by multiple goals, and Uruguay would have to upset Ghana. So Group H, second place is definitely in the air, but Portugal's guaranteed out. So
Portugal's guaranteed out?
Yeah, they already have 6 points.
Oh, okay. Out of the group. To advance. South Korea's already out of the World Cup, no?
If they win against Portugal and Ghana loses to Uruguay, they'd have 4 points and Ghana would have 3.
Oh, shit.
So they could still technically make it in.
Yeah, I still think Portugal, Ghana for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, Ronaldo's kind of hurt, so they might not even play him. And
I mean, that'd probably be good.
Yeah, they're probably going to sit down a bunch of players. I mean, they're at this point, they're guaranteed first in their pool, right?
Yeah.
Can I talk about Ronaldo right now? Like,
this has been Ronaldo, soccer, they're bro, not well. They're not considered. Like, if Ghana wins their game, they'd have to score 4 goals.
Yeah.
To be first. So I guess, yeah, they're kind of guaranteed.
The fact that Ronaldo has to take every free kick and he hasn't scored a free kick in I don't know how fucking long. And he has players like Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Neves, like really talented players that are fucking Bernardo Silva for Manchester City. They're just geniuses on the ball that can do free kicks. But you got Ronaldo taking each and every one of them. Like,
it's just an ego thing, man.
It's so fucking devastating to see. Like, there was one, the only free, I think it was like the only free kick in an area of danger. And you see Cristiano Ronaldo just getting the ball and telling everybody to get the fuck out of the way. And you knew exactly what he was going to do. Smash it into the wall, which is what he's done for years now. He's not what he used to be on free kicks.
Yeah, they're definitely not coming down. They're flying. Because one of the craziest things to me about free kicks and those that are very good at them is how they're able to get the ball to drop back down.
Yeah.
Because it's such a crazy, crazy talent to be able to hit the ball as hard as they do and still get it to come back down to towards the goal. But yeah, more often than not, you'll see when people shoot free kicks, they just send them. They're gone.
Yeah, it's been Ronaldo. He either skies them or hits the wall, and it's been...
Hits the wall, that's exactly what's happening.
The one free kick I saw him not take was that one that was in the awkward position that Fernandez sunk in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's so fucking weird, man. Like, in Manchester United, he did the same thing. Everyone knew he was going to miss it, but... It's just Ronaldo lining up in his signature pose for a free kick. And it's just like, bro, I know it made you famous back in Manchester United days, mm-hmm. early Real Madrid days, but you're not that guy anymore.
He still considers himself, I mean,
everyone. He is one of the greatest, yeah. Undoubtedly.
Like, everyone wants, when they're playing, it's like, you have to kind of have that mentality that you're like the best. But he truly still thinks that he's the best player. And he could work hard and everything, but there's just a lot of talent now. And a lot of young talent with a lot of energy and less ego. And I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo right now isn't really doing himself any favors with the... Well, I guess his... him taking all the free kicks. So, like, soccer fans are upset about that. But then the casual that doesn't know too much about Cristiano Ronaldo or soccer, they'll see like Cristiano Ronaldo beefing with Manchester United and him giving interviews and like it's kind of like, damn, bro. Like what's going on, man? You know?
Yeah.
I mean that was it. So we're coming out with Portugal, Ghana in the last group, and this is the World Cup unofficial World Cup podcast of the Qatar 2022 World Cup.
Shit, dude. I honestly thought we're just gonna do the one group and move on.
I don't know.
But we got really heated in the discussion about soccer in the US and
the cool thing is that in the next round it's less teams, so it'll be a lot faster to get through this.
Well, I don't think we need to do all of them. Just probably the next game of like next day's game, I guess. Or even when this pod airs, probably like the next couple games. But yeah,
I haven't looked at the schedule, but I think by the time the next episode comes out, we're probably some of the next round games probably have already been played as well. So we already know kind of who's advancing.
Okay. For sure.
Yeah, next week we'll talk about what we kind of planned to talk about this week. So
yeah, maybe we could just get a more fleshed out pod. We're gonna have time to simmer and think about it, you know. Percolate on it.
Percolate,
it's a big word.
The last time I heard the word percolate was in a Sean Paul song. So
Sean
Paul,
a master of vocabulary.
I guess any closing thoughts on this the World Cup so far? Is it been, I know like Qatar and like the whole fact that it's in Qatar. I mean, a lot of people still leaves like a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths and a lot of the controversy behind it all. But entertainment, what was that?
Did you see that pitch invader?
Well, he wasn't a streaker. He was still fully clothed.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I actually corrected myself, but yeah. The pitch invader that went in there with the rainbow flag, something about Ukraine.
Is that like 100 public lashings or what is he going to get?
No, he got let go scot-free.
Well, you can't publicly execute the guy anymore because, you know, the world's eyes on you.
Oh, I see.
I think Qatar is going to play nice and just destroy, just pretty much fucking go back to being its...
But it was, so it was a rainbow flag. It was save Ukraine on one side, and then the back was like support Iran protests or something.
Yeah.
So he covered all his bases.
Very efficient.
Jesus. Wow. Well, yeah, I guess if he got away scot-free, then Qatar is really out here trying to just make sure things are running smoothly without catching any backlash. Yeah, well, at least any more backlash than they've already gotten.
Yeah, they'll probably, you know, deport him from his own country back to Qatar after this. You want a free trip to Qatar, guy? I don't know, man. That's wild. There's just so much to say about the human rights, like, section of, like, whole Qatar thing and, like, the world, like, I'm not being an apologist, but the world at large is very, like, there's no gay rights in large parts of the world. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that, Qatar is, like,
a bad place because they're not into that.
No, I mean, shit, like, it doesn't even sound good trying to fucking say this, but it's just, I'm not being selective over my human rights or anything. It's just, like, a lot of the world is like that right now, you know, and a lot of developed countries are imposing their morals on a country that really does not give a fuck about your morals or anybody else's. They care about theirs, right? And it's just, like, really fucking shitty to be a fan of a sport, right? But also trying to watch an event that should be a joy, right? And being questioned about Oh, so human rights come second to a love for a game that doesn't really fucking matter. Right.
And oh, so you support gay rights, but you like eating at Chick-fil-A, huh?
Exactly. That kind
of
shit. It's
one of those kind of things, yeah.
It's one of those things like, oh, yeah, you just love watching a sport so much that you really don't give a fuck about this, that, or the other. And I'm just like...
Bro, it's all those people saying that are just virtue signaling. They don't give a shit either. They just want people to think that they do. They were never going to watch the World Cup, but now that it's in Qatar, and they have a platform to be like, I'm boycotting it. Bitch, you were never going to watch it.
There's a whole, like, a lot of our goods are made through fucking real devious, like, means, right? You have child fucking labor. You have a smartphone in your hand, and you're going to be talking about, you know, this, that, or the other, but you just choose to ignore... Basic human rights were violated for your products that you engage with every single fucking day. And it's just like, damn, like it's really put me in a situation of like, I try to be as cognizant to human rights struggles, all this stuff. Right. But it's just like, at what point, like, does it become way too much? Like I said this before, there's certain bandwidth that people have, and it's just like, there's just so much wrong with this World Cup. Just, like, I'm not saying that just because this World Cup is in Qatar doesn't mean, like, there was so much wrong with the South Africa one. There's so much wrong with the Brazil one. There was so much wrong with the Korea one. It's just like, this whole organization has been in the wrong for such a long time. And it's just like, how do we fix it? How do we even begin to fix something like FIFA?
You can't.
Can you?
Nah. It's just one of those like corrupt groups. You know, they have so much power and influence that it is what it is.
And even then, like, that doesn't even bode well for the whole sport I spent advocating this entire fucking time.
Because yeah, it's like if, for example, the shit that's going on here in the U.S. and everyone's like, oh, man, like, our two-party system's utter trash. And, like, how can we ever make change? And it's like, well, how are we going to change when the people that are corrupt are, like, the ones inside supposed to be making the change? I think it's something very similar to like the FIFA organization, but on like a much grander scale, because it's not just people with like Western values, but then there's different chair, like committee members from all different parts of the world that are, you know, there's bribery, there's looser morals or laws to certain things. So like to get everybody all on the same boat and agree on certain things, it's going to be very, very difficult. So Qatar, the World Cup being there and like all of it, like were they bribed? Were the, you know, how many immigrant workers, you know, passed away or died while constructing the stadiums and all these things, human rights stuff that goes down over there. And like what Edwin mentioned, that it's like there's so much shit going on in the world and your bandwidth is so small. It's just like one of those things where it's just like, I just want to enjoy this, man. I know it's fucked, but it's a World Cup that happens once every 4 years. If y'all really feel that passionate about Qatar and like the problems that you know, what they do. And like, do that next month, you know, do that next year when the World Cup's gone.
Those same people aren't going to be talking next year.
It's just, it's one of those things, man. It's like, it's just one of those things. It's hard to admit that you have like that, what is that called? The dissonance? Where you're like, you obviously have your morals, but then you're also supporting this thing that goes against your morals.
Yeah.
It is what it is. as stupid as that sounds, it just is what it is. Because if and you mentioned it too, like even like it comes down to your phone. If you're really about everything that you believed in, then just Don't even use technology. Don't even use anything, because it's all sourced and it's all fucked.
Yeah, to the coffee we fucking drink, right? Sure, there's ethically sourced things, but goddamn, coffee's a fucked up...
the industry.
It's a fucked up industry, yeah. And it's just like, man.
So, I would
Do you guys know about that U.S.-Iran thing? About the U.S. using the protest flag as in their promotional, like...
Yeah, I saw that.
So I guess there's protests happening in Iran, and U.S. players are supporting those protests in Iran, or those protesters through...
Yeah, and they use the protesters' flag
right
as the Iran flag during, like, promotional videos for their upcoming match. The match? Uh-huh. Yeah. Is this, like...
I mean, it's just a cell phone. I don't even care.
Is this the right time to do this? Like, did the U.S. have to fucking do this? Like, I don't know.
World Cup has always kind of been, like, a platform for people to voice their opinions on world things. Even though I could see the argument where everyone should just be politically neutral and just go out there and just play the game. You know, distract people from their problems in life and just... You know, have it be an entertainment and a show of passion and et cetera, et cetera. And keep politics out of it. I personally don't see a problem. And Iran is kind of just self-owning themselves with, like...
trying to get them banned.
Yeah, or it's like these protesters... What are they protesting about exactly?
Women's rights.
So women's rights.
Yeah.
So women's rights, and Iran's like, oh, fuck the women's rights protesters. And the U.S. is like, dude, we love women's rights. Hell yeah to the protesters. And Iran's pissed about it. Isn't that kind of like a self-own?
Do we love women's rights over here?
I would say yes.
Last I heard.
Some states certainly don't. But, I mean, that's a topic for another day.
You have to remember that it's only like the Supreme Court justices are a few people, and there's millions and millions of Americans.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's relative, right? I mean, yeah. Women are, you know, walk around with all of us, where everybody, women are just normal people, whereas they're not second class citizens and, you know, stuff like that.
Other countries.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I don't know. This got hot and heavy, so damn.
Guess we'll leave it there, huh?
Yeah, it brings us to the end of our episode. Any closing thoughts about...
That was the closing thoughts.
Shit, fuck. All right, we're just going to leave on the downer. Peace. No, just kidding. That's a red card for all of us.
Continue supporting your teams and help me out, someone. Last and my sentence. Si se puede. There you go.
Have fun.
Si se puede.
Come up with some interesting banter if you're a U.S. citizen.
It's called soccer. What else do you need?
You need banter. Yeah, I mean, that's fun. That's really fun. Like all the, during the English, U.S. game, Pulisic hit the crossbar and he almost scored, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, woo, I thought we were about to start calling it soccer for a second. So, yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, you can reach us at our website, tiltednostrid.com, or at our Instagram. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube.
Remember to join us to share your questions and voice your thoughts on what has you tilted, not stirred.
Peace.
If Mexico doesn't score, I swear to all that is good.
I think we're just gonna limp dick it all the way out.
See, sir, with it. See, sir, with it.
Bring back Jared Borghetti from the dead. He's not dead, but.